fighting for America.
Some of the things we're doing without Congress are making a difference, but we could do so much more if Congress would just come on and help out a little bit.
There are 321 House passed bills that are sitting in the United States Senate.
Fighting for Idaho.
What I've tried to employ the female members of my family is that let's make sure we don't do anything to provoke wrong actions.
Fighting for you.
Kevin Miller's my name. Making it happen's my game. I got a cobra-like trust, and I will kill if I must.
Where did I hear that before?
I know. You made that phrase famous.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
Hey, diddle, diddle, right up the middle.
On 580 KIDL, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Joining us now is Paula Poundstone, world-famous comedian, coming to Idaho here at the Egyptian Theater coming up Friday, August 1st. Ms. Poundstone, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You know, and this could go good or bad, but I've got to ask you, how do you do what you do? That's got to be the toughest job and probably so underappreciated, the science of making people laugh.
Well, I don't know a lot about the science of it. I'd really fail if I had to know the science of it. Although I do know it's good for you. Yes. I know that. I consider myself a proud member of the endorphin production industry. Actually, no, it's the easiest job in the world. I almost feel like I'm cheating when I go to work. I get a boost of endorphins from it, and B, people love to laugh. And I happen to play to a really great crowd, so that makes it extra easy. Your job would be harder, I think. First of all, because don't you have to get up really early?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, so you have, like, no life. And yet you have to pretend that you have a life, because the radio people are always the people who sound like they're at the center of all the music and the things that are going on in town. But truth be told, you can't go to events. You have to nap, right?
Look, it's either you're exactly right, and you're that's a very great insight. Radio people don't have lives; they just fake it, and quite frankly, half the time they're texting or reading emails while they're pretending to interview people.
Oh, jeez!
You remember,
that's a breakthrough moment for you. Now, did you hear the lady a few seconds ago say that you guys had like some sort of a Leonardo da Vinci event happening?
No, actually, I didn't.
Did you hear? I can't remember if she said that there was a talk about Leonardo da Vinci. I can't remember where they said that there was like a display of his art, but
At the Discovery Center, yes.
Yes. And I've always wondered about him because my son goes to art camp every summer, and when he comes home, I don't have any more space on my walls. When he comes home, I put his stuff up. And, his drawings and his paintings and things. And he's very good, but he's certainly not Leonardo da Vinci. And you just think they didn't even have a refrigerator, for heaven's sakes. Where did they put his stuff? After a while, his mother must have been like, well, that's wonderful, honey, another picture of a man in a circle.
Exactly.
Maybe you could,
I got to hit you with this, though. Back to your gig being tough.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody thinks they have a few yuck-yucks at work and people have said that's the worst.
They do.
But they say that's the worst person to go into comedy because you don't understand the science, the observation. Just your basic thing there where you talked about Da Vinci and the idea of the refrigerator and the circles. So relevant, so concrete, and yet that took a while to observe to bring it out.
No, people just think of things conversationally. There's nobody funnier than McKenzie over in accounting.
Well, what happens when McKenzie bombs, though? What's that like?
Well, you don't bomb if you're in accounting and you only come out of your office a few minutes a day and tell a couple jokes at the water cooler. I mean, McKenzie's playing it safe, I got to say that.
Always leave him wanting more, yes.
Yeah. And but no, if you're laughing in the workplace, then lucky you. Unless you're a therapist, in which case you're just not very good.
Exactly. So you're coming to Idaho Friday at the Egyptian Theater. What are your thoughts on Idaho?
I've been to Idaho. I've driven around Idaho a lot, believe it or not. I don't think I've been up in the stick part, the skinny part.
Sure.
I don't think I've been up there, and I get the sense from the map that there's not that much room.
Exactly.
I just have this vision of everybody. Well, you would have to sort of all funnel onto the same highway, right?
Right.
Yeah. Because there's not a lot of East-West happening, I imagine, right?
Not a lot, no.
No. There's, so everybody just, I just picture everybody sort of like, there's one hallway in my, I have a very small house, but it's, there's a hallway from the kitchen to the living room where there's also the closet with the vacuum cleaner and the, you know, cleaning cloth receptacle. And, you know, when you walk through there, even if there's no one else in the house, you feel the need to kind of get skinny or go sideways. And I just picture the people up in the stick part of Idaho just walking sideways all the time.
Some could say that, yeah.
Yeah. Do you guys have a name for the stick part?
You know what they call it, what, the panhandle maybe?
The panhandle. That's a better name.
Well, you know.
I think I've been using the unscientific term, which is the stick part.
Well, that's why they employ me here, for the brain.
Yeah, you got the glossary of Idaho terms.
I suppose. Paula Poundstone with us. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. What do you enjoy more, being on the radio, being on television, being on stage?
Oh, being on stage, hands down. I love talking to the audience. I talk about, you know, lots of things that we have in common. Sometimes we have in common, which is raising a house full of kids and animals and trying to pay attention to the news well enough to cast a halfway decent vote, which everybody knows is not an easy trick at all.
Right.
But my favorite part of the night is just talking. Talking to the audience. I do the time-honored, where are you from, what do you do for a living? And in this way, little biographies emerge, and I kind of use that from which to set my sails. I know two shows are the same. I really don't know what I'm going to say when I go on. I certainly have material. I have 35 years of material. I don't know what particular topic or what direction or
so you're
whatever.
That good, you can just come on and go.
I do. I just go on and go, which is the same skill that everyone has in conversation. You know, when you meet up with somebody on the street and you say hi to them, you don't go, well, geez, I don't have my script. You engage.
I usually just look down and not really like try to talk to people.
Well, you know, I was doing an experiment for a little while. I read in a book that you get a boost of oxytocin, which is the happy chemical, when you hug people. And so I was doing an experiment for a little while where I would hug everyone I met, and I found that I didn't want to come out of my room after a while. Just, hugging takes a lot of bravery. It's not that you don't necessarily get a boost from it, but first of all, the TSA hates that, and second of all, it also takes, you have to have a certain mindset to go about your day hugging people.
You're not a hugger.
I like human contact, and I like people a lot. There's just I'm not good at the part. But you can't just run up to somebody and hug them. That's assault, I think.
Yeah, not these days.
So yeah, it takes a. It's much harder than it sounded in the book. I think to get my oxytocin boost, I'm going to have to just work out.
See, here's I've kind of evolved into a hugger. In the old days, I'd look at people and go, don't touch me. You're not getting a free sample.
Yeah, well, you know, society's changed in that regard. If you'll remember, and perhaps you do, maybe I'm older than you, I don't know, when the first George Bush announced Dan Quayle as his running mate.
Yes, I remember.
Dan Quayle came up and hugged him. And boy, the talking heads had a field day. They said it wasn't treating the first George Bush in a very presidential way. It was, you know, it wasn't manly. It was, you know, all these bad things. And, you know, you cut to now, and it's a hug festival.
I was going
to
say, what's the deal with the man hug these days? Do men hug too much?
I don't think they hug too much at all. They're a little brief, actually. They're not quite sure all the time how long to connect for. A lot of men having that sort of engineering brain need like a timer. No, I don't think it. I did read something the other day that said that the fist bump is healthier than the handshake. Okay, probably in terms of germ exchange, but my guess is not emotionally. It's just a different kind of contact altogether and not nearly as satisfying. I mean, if a fist bump was satisfying, then we would all just punch each other in the face when we saw each other. And that would have come into being, and people would consider that a very warm greeting.
It's always better to give than receive with that one.
Yeah, definitely. No, I think that the open hand and the few seconds of connection is much more. For all these things come from somewhere, you know. That's the thing about nature. I'm fascinated by that. Everything comes from somewhere. There's a reason. All except for one thing that I cannot figure out for the life of me.
What's that?
Which is why, as I grow older, my face is squaring out. And you notice it on lots of your brethren as you get older. Our faces tend to sort of like, I get up in the morning and I look like someone has forced my face into a loaf pan in the middle of the night. And I can't figure out from a nature point of view where that came from and why. Like, how is that helpful?
Maybe you should have some more ice cream.
Yeah, maybe that. There's got to be some. It makes me, I don't know. I can't figure it out. Whereas so many things in nature make all the sense in the world. You know, butterflies have those little dots on their wings with circles sometimes, and it looks like eyes, so birds don't eat them.
Right.
Yeah. Well, why would a loaf pan head make a bird not eat you? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, Paula, we will catch you at the Egyptian. We thank you very much for making time for us today.
It was great talking with you. Thank you so much.
Take care.
In your trust every morning, Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Up all night. Staying up all night.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning as we continue on. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. All right, let's go to our friend Joy Karp joining us now, best-selling author, a young lady that knows a lot about business. We'll talk about that and the idea of effective communication. Her new book, The Power of Service, here at 580KIDO with Kevin Miller. Good morning, Joy.
Good morning, Kevin. Good morning, Boise.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your work and what you've done in the past. You've had a distinguished career helping people, whether it's McDonald's or other places, learn how to effectively communicate.
Yes, through the power of service. And that is the major vehicle that is required by all retail, by all of the services that you mentioned before. It applies to everything in business, in hospital services, police services, everywhere.
Well, you know, we talk about communicating, and maybe it's because we live in a passive-aggressive world today. Do we fail to communicate effectively, whether it's at work or at home or anywhere else?
Yes, and a lot of that is due to the digital age. The quick response that we can put in writing on Facebook, Twitter, and so on. And what we fail to do is to elicit an emotional response from people to make them feel good. It's the feel-good experience that will make people come back. Quality and value may bring people into your business, but it is the service that will bring them back.
And again, do we really – it's funny. I was at Fred Meyer yesterday, and I was looking for a beach towel for my wife, Dorothy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a long day, and I didn't get my nap, so I'm a little cranky because I get up at 3 in the morning. And I was talking to a young lady, and she said, hey, I can call someone, and maybe it's the other side of the store. Now, for me, I'm going, no, that's okay. And then I looked at it from her perspective, and I said – well, please go ahead and do that. And then afterwards she goes, look, I'm really sorry. And so many times when we get good service, sometimes we as the customer, one way or the other, don't appreciate it.
Yes, that was good service. We're talking about great service here. And there is a difference. The difference between good service and great service is that the person believes that service is all. They have a passion for it. And that comes through to the customer. If she had run to the other end of the store for you, that would have made an enormous difference to you. And you would have remembered that. What she did was good, but, you know, she could have gone one step further.
That seems to be a lost art. So let's talk about your past experiences helping folks like McDonald's and others become successful at the mid to small to large level business.
Yes. Okay, well, I suppose it started with when I wrote the McDonald's Hands-On Business Training Program. We were having problems at that time in the Kingston, Ontario area, bringing in managers off the street, people who had experience, because they weren't staying, and we had a lot of turnover. They weren't used to the hectic, intense pace of McDonald's, even though they did have management experience. And so the project came to me, we've got to do something about this. And so the idea of promote from within through a process that brings a person from to five levels, the crew person. So it may take 2 or 3 years. And so they start off as a teenager, but by the time they reach the assistant manager or manager level, they're into their 20s. And we take people who have leadership potential and people who already know that they love the system, rather than people who don't know what the system is all about, and take them and promote them. It was tremendously successful and reduced our turnover substantially. From there, we went on and owned our own McDonald's in the Yukon, and it had the biggest sales month of any McDonald's in the world, its first sales month. And that is when my real passion for service began, and I started to see what gives you that edge. You can't have a sales pitch. You can't have robotic service. The customer is very smart. They can sense these things. The customer has to feel that you really care about them, and the only way to make that happen is to really care about them.
Well, and that's easier said than done, Joy, right?
Exactly, and that's why it has to come from the owner or the supervisor, the top person that you're dealing with. They have to, and it comes from employee satisfaction, Kevin. That's where the root comes from. If there is not employee satisfaction, there cannot be customer satisfaction. So you have to, first of all, you have to let your employees know that you are passionate about service. And that means pitching in and leading by example. And maybe you don't have the time for that because you're studying your numbers, your sales numbers, your transaction counts, and you're in meetings. But numbers don't bring in people, and numbers don't produce employee satisfaction. Do those things when your place is closed. When your place is open, be in there. Show your employees through your example how important service is and how to do it. Talk about it. Don't call and say, how are our sales today? Call and talk about service. Talk about service like you're really passionate about it. It becomes contagious. Have competitions for service. Have incentives for service. You know, people say, well, today turnover is high. It's really hard to keep an employee and train them. My answer to that is it's okay to have one less employee than you need. It's better to be short-staffed and to have really great people, because one great person is worth two average people. I can tell you that. So pay that person a little more. You know,
Joy Karp with us here at 580 KIDU. I have to hit you with this, though. Sure. Why do businesses not comp us when they mess up? I'll give you an example. My wife and I, again, because she's a small business person, so we're always studying businesses and how they respond to people. And we had this service that we went to. Somebody ordered out for pizza. Okay, it was an hour and a half into it. These folks still hadn't delivered our pizza.
Wow.
So my wife calls. It's a new business. My wife calls, and she starts lecturing the person. Hey, blah, blah, blah. And they say, well, we're sorry. We'll give you 20% off. And I said, I think you need to call her back. And just and lecturing the worker there is not going to do it. Just say, we don't really want your, you know, we don't want your service. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. This is after she gave the guy directions. So then the owner called back, apologized, and went back and forth. And then we got the directions for the, gave them the directions for the 17th time. They comped us, but it took the owner to take that extra step. And then they still tried to charge us. So I mean, it seems so basic that, hey, I messed up. here, let me make it up to you so you consider me for my business.
Are you going to go back to that pizza place?
I don't think so.
Exactly. That is my point. The point, and that's why I wrote the book, and courses and so on service, because I want to do my little part to make business owners understand the importance of, you know, people complain that they're not, their sales aren't increasing, their transaction counts aren't increasing, they're blaming it on all sorts of things. They've got to first look and understand how important service is to the customer. It just makes sense. And you see, there's a case where the owner has not talked to his people about service. In a case like this, you give the customer a complimentary pizza. Maybe you even send an extra one.
All right. The Power of Service by J.E. Karp with a K.com. The Power of Service, serves through the eyes of customers. Joy, thank you. We'd love to have you back.
Oh, thank you. It was a pleasure.
Okay, take care.
Okay, you too. Bye now.
Bye-bye. That's our friend Joy Karp. Great points there about how to deal with bad customer service. And don't forget, you're listening to Kevin Miller right here on 580 KIDO.
Back weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men,
men, men.
Ooh. 538, Kevin Miller in the morning, the Manly Man segment. Dave Burnett returns from his vacation, and Dave, welcome back.
Well, it is good to be back, and I mean that sincerely. Very good to be back.
Well, did you have a good time?
Had a nice break, got away, kind of recharged the batteries a bit, went to Southern California for a week, and oh, man, am I glad to be back in Boise, Idaho.
Well, anything exciting that you'd like to share with us?
Well, let's see. One of the days I was down there, the president in town, big hubbub over that. He was there doing some fundraising, waiting for... It was interesting. We were in the area of LAX at the time when he was coming in, and all the people standing on the overpasses waiting to take pictures of Air Force One coming in. It was kind of surprising.
Right.
But I wanted to see it, too, not because of the president, because of the Air Force One. I wanted to see that come in, but very busy. It just... You know, I guess maybe it's the older I get, the more crowded L.A. seems. And it's just crowded and rude. People just rude. Customer service and restaurants and hotels, bad. Just rude.
Right.
So I'm just glad to get back to little old Boise, Idaho.
Well, I guess the older you get, the more you appreciate Idaho. It does spoil you when you go somewhere, I found, and I'm not half as friendly as you are when you go somewhere and you're kind of, you know, doing your own thing and you just happen to talk to somebody in the airport or sitting next to you and they kind of look at you like you're a weirdo.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, you get some of that. You get some people, you know, hi, how are you? And they look at you like, what do you want?
Right. What's your agenda?
Yeah. What are you after? And I guess they're tired of getting scammed because there's somebody always out scamming you.
Right.
But, it's just crowded. A lot of people. If the economy's bad, I don't think it's bad down there because I know at the tourist attractions, there was a lot of people spending a lot of money.
Really?
Oh, yeah. There are people out just spending money like nobody's business.
You think they have money, or is this just we've gone back to the days of the credit?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I know there's people spending a lot of money, you know, and just, you know, if you go to the amusement parks now, you pay the admission, which is going to run you about a fin to get in per person. And then they want an additional like $40 for their fast passes. So they've suddenly raised it not only in the general admission park, but then they've raised it again, to ride the attractions, which, if you break it down, by the time you stand in lines like to go to Disneyland, you're paying about $10 an attraction.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, you got time during the day to go to about 10 different things. That's it.
So did you go there?
Yeah, oh yeah. Went to Disney, California.
And what'd you think?
Crowded. It's always very good. Very well done.
Isn't it just for little kids, though?
No, absolutely not.
Really?
No, absolutely not.
But what do you do as an adult?
As an adult, you go on the attractions, you go on the rides. You know, like at Disney California, they got flying over, soaring over California where you sit in these chairs, you do this, you know, kind of a, IMAX thing where you're flying in these, which is awesome. You know, they got different shows, different exhibits. So it's not all Peter Pan.
You know, I went to Disney, Florida. Mm-hmm. Disney World, is that what they call it?
Yeah, which to me is way too big. I mean, it is big.
You're saying that and you're a Western guy, everything in the West is big.
Yeah, that's true.
So, but, you know, I went there once with my family, and the only thing I can remember from it was $12 for a cheeseburger meal, and this was in 1994. So I don't imagine, I can't imagine what the meals are on park at the park now.
It's expensive. I mean, yeah. How much was it for your cheeseburger, you said?
It was for a cheeseburger meal, I think 12 bucks, and that was in 94 at the park.
Yeah, they'll get more for you than that now. But, yeah, it's expensive.
It is indeed.
I can't remember the numbers now. My wife could tell you. They had like a all-you-can-drink card for $30, you know, so that way you can get sodas at the park all day for $30 for sodas? Holy cow.
Yeah, $30.
Yeah,
wow.
Just for your drinks all day.
And you can't bring anything in?
No. No.
Walt wouldn't like that.
That's the way Walt had it. Walt's always been that way. Walt knew how to make money. Walt was a good capitalist. He knew how to make money.
I'm with you.
Mm-hmm. And as long as the people are spending it, there you go.
Huh.
You know, I guess that's what you get. If people will spend it, if people will pay, you know, $150 to go see an NFL football game, then by golly, that's what you charge them.
I suppose. Speaking of football now, I've been saving stuff up for you.
Okay. Fire away.
You know, last night I was out in the yard hanging out. Actually, I was trying to go to sleep.
So in my front yard?
Exactly. I might be a little grumpy here, but there's a reason why. When is it inappropriate to mow your lawn? When is it too late to mow your lawn in your neighborhood?
My feeling is 8 o'clock. You should be done by 8.
Okay.
That's my feeling. Even though, you know, in June the sun stays up till till 10, 8 o'clock. You shouldn't be doing it after 8.
Okay.
That's my feeling.
Sure. So last night about 9:15... the Sons of Anarchy are out, which are my neighbors, not the good ones that are visiting this week, but the other ones. They're mowing their lawn.
That's way too late.
And I've been having trouble with the wall on my side, and you know, I noticed a fence post has been broken, and then magically, within one night, I saw one of the planks actually blown out and the nails facing in my yard, and I'm going, well, this isn't good because they have these, you know, this big dog over there, and I'm thinking to myself, I've got these little dogs and a kind of a big dog, and so it just really irritated me. So I get my hammer out and I'm hammering this thing, this fence post back in. Then I call the landlord, their landlord, and I go, look, if I'm going to be awake at this hour of the night, you're going to be awake, and I get the one lady going, well, isn't quiet time after 10 o'clock?
I think legally, yes.
Right.
But I think, ethically, you should stop at 8.
Well, and I really didn't get my nap yesterday. Otherwise, I would have said, well, how would you like it if I come over and mow your lawn right now, honey?
Yeah, to me, 8 to 8. If you're mowing your lawn before 8 in the morning or after 8 at night, good.
I am so squeamish about that, I will not do anything till the afternoon. And there are people like 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock, mowing their lawns. I just like to be uber considerate for some strange reason. And so then I'm talking, well, I need to speak to your husband. And so he gets on, hey, well, that's kind of late, isn't it? I go, yes, that's why I'm calling you. And then he says something else, and I said, by the way, this fence is a mess. I need to get you over here. This is a safety concern because this is the second or third time this thing's fallen down. We need to fix it. Well, I'm saying I need you to get over here. And, well, I can come on Saturday. Well, anytime. I go, well, I'll be there at 8:30. Well, how about 9? And I'm thinking to myself, and their yard's a mess now and everything else. I'm thinking, you know, Dave is a connoisseur of human interaction and one that loves to give direction. What am I doing wrong with these people?
With the landlords or with the neighbors?
I'm thinking to myself, well, the neighbors, there are other things that I can't really talk about that they're doing off the air, but The landlord, I mean, should I have been a little bit more stern with the guy? Then I'm thinking, well, maybe I should have threatened to get Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, to give him a call.
Well, you see, the harder you get on them, the more they're going to think you're just being a rear end.
Well, actually, I haven't talked to them in about 4 months. Every other neighbor in my development, let's say a cul-de-sac, has called about them.
Mm-hmm.
So I've taken about 6 months off.
And that's probably good, because otherwise you're going to be the bad guy in their eyes.
Right. So it's a pattern here that has developed. And you think to yourself, what's wrong with people as far as being considerate? You know, mowing your lawn after 9 o'clock
at
night?
Yeah, that's just not good. That's just never good.
And apparently during the day, the music's real loud and stuff. And
I know they're not mowing it during the day because it's hot. I get that. But mow it at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, or, you know, after work, 5, 6 o'clock at night.
That's pretty hot then, and I get that. But, that you know, that's again, that's why, I mean, mine's shaggy because I've been on vacation for over a week. But I'm going to let it be shaggy until tomorrow morning, and I'll go out tomorrow morning about, 9 o'clock in the morning and mow it.
Yeah, so I'm just sitting there going, man, wow. By the way, have you watched that Way Out West thing?
Haven't done a lot of TV watching.
Yeah, I know. You like to do things. I like to talk about doing things.
Okay.
It's just how it is. I get it.
I haven't done a lot of TV watching.
So when I'm not here at 580 KIDO, I'm watching this True TV thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, I can't even tell you about this. I have to shut up and go. I'm sorry, folks, for being ADD here at 580 KIDO. I have to tell Dave Burnett the big story and politically that Dan Popke quit and is working for Raul Labrador.
Yes, I saw that.
Well, I figured you saw it, but to talk about it.
Yeah.
What do you make of that?
You know what? I'll be honest with you. I haven't always politically agreed with Dan Popke, but I've always liked Dan Popke. I think Dan has always been fair. We disagree politically on a number of things. But I think honestly, Dan, and as Dan gets older, because I know, you know, Dan has had kids. We used to have him on a regular basis, on a weekly basis.
Right.
And talking to him off the air, he's gone through teenage kids, and I think teenage kids sober you up a bit, make you a little more conservative on things. So maybe that's the case. I don't know. It'd be interesting to get Dan on the air and talk to Dan to see, you know, exactly how he's going to do this.
Well, if his new boss will allow him to do it.
Why wouldn't he?
Because he's not, you know, he serves at the pleasure of his new boss, which I believe, conservatively, this is his fourth press secretary, or liberally, it's his sixth in less than 4 years. And it's funny because, now you know I have the Miller militia. You know I have a lot of people that are, let's just say, stridently conservative.
Mm-hmm.
And they get on me when I start questioning conservatives, and I'm going, well, that's not really a good sign. Well, Kevin, you don't know. The people just weren't doing their jobs. Okay, I'm sure all four or all six or five previous were not doing their jobs. As we know, as we get older, there's something called humility, and eventually it's not them, it's us when you have a pattern, kind of like the Sons of Anarchy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I don't know if this is a great marriage. The Republicans, they don't like Dan Popke. Congressman Labrador, great with the base, but the establishment, not a fan favorite. And so you bring in Popke, and I got people calling me all the time. And look, when I'm done, I'm done. I'm there watching Wild West or Batman reruns, and people are just very upset about it. And a guy that has been perhaps fair, but I wouldn't, if you're a fan of former Senator Larry Craig, his coverage wasn't exactly fair to a lot of Republicans, a lot of conservatives, and to a lot of people that have been Popke'd, like Lawrence Denny. I think this is a shocker.
Well, I think it is. But, I mean, the question is this. As a press secretary, what is their job?
Write press releases.
Mm-hmm. And to be in touch with the media, to be the media liaison for that person. To drive a Budweiser truck, do you have to drink the beer?
You should.
Why?
You shouldn't.
You're delivering a product.
Be a company man. You're right, yeah.
You're delivering a product. So he's delivering a product, and I'm assuming that Congressman Labrador and Dan Popke sat down and came to agreements on what needs to be delivered, how it needs to be delivered. And I know Dan well enough to know Dan is professional, and Dan will do what he is asked to do.
Right.
And you know what? Sometimes maybe keeping your enemies closer is a good idea.
I just think it's a crazy move. And remember, on our many off-the-air conversations, I kept going, what's up with Dan Popke writing these glowing reviews of Congressman Labrador?
He was looking for work.
And I think if I were Dan Popke, I'd ask this question. So if we ever get Dan on, and we'd love to have him on, I would say to him, well, what would you say to the critics? Because you can never say, well, you know, did you how ethically were you when you were, you know, with this job? Were you pursuing this job 6 months ago, 8 months ago? I mean, critics would, here's how I'd phrase the question. Well, critics would say, sir, that your coverage has been influenced because you wrote glowing reviews of Congressman Labrador for the last 6 months. How would you respond to them? That's a fair question, I think.
And I think Dan would say, I don't have to respond to you. I'm just telling you, that's what Dan would say.
But it just seemed, again, I kept going, where's the usual snarky Dan Popke with this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe
he had a, what is it, the road to Damascus where Paul was struck down blind? Maybe he had a road to Damascus moment.
Look at the coverage, though, of his treatment of Governor Otter and of Congressman Labrador.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what was it? Remember back when all heck broke loose with Russia, China, and everything else? I mean, and then Popke brilliantly wrote about the triple access and this, that, and the other. It was a great zinger of a line. And those were just missing from the Labrador coverage. And I know that's way, way, way inside, but I wanted to get your take on
it. It'll be a fascinating dance to watch, Kevin. That's what I have to say. I also have to say this, your traffic now as you're coming out of Canyon County and Ada County.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And welcome to Friday. Heidi Ho, Kevin Miller in the morning. Coming up as we get ready to go back to school, how to take a look at real-life bullying. You know, we have these videos, we have the Stop the Bullying campaign, but what happens when all of a sudden your little darling comes home and says he's been bullied? A lot of people say that bullying is overrated, but when it's your kid, you don't view it that way. We'll have some tips there. Plus, an inside look of what's going on in Canyon County. Kind of crazy, if you will. We love everybody at Canyon County. Heck, in the Treasure Valley, you pay our bills at 580KIDO. But here you have Sheriff Donahue saying no more work release or no more roadside crews because of the budget. And you have a former rodeo queen accused of, what is it, embezzlement? Ouch. Those stories and much, much more, plus Fox News on your radio. Let's get you to traffic now. And 559, 580KIDO. Don't forget your chance to go see Big and Rich very soon in September. Can be yours just by listening here at 580KIDO with K Millie in the morning. And one thing that I do want to get back with Dave, and we'll talk about this on Monday, is this issue involving this Way Out West. Have you seen it yet? I know a lot of people haven't. Let's face it, with the cost of satellite TV and everything else, it's much cheaper to do the streaming thing. But it's a real-life reality show based in Idaho. In fact, they had a picture of the Emmett Airport. They filmed out there, and apparently they're filming in Cowgirls in Cuna. But basically, it's like Duck Dynasty meets Jackass. Is that an accurate portrayal of Idaho? We'll talk about it.
Serving